Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Once people understand what the Bible teaches about salvation, they know that grace is unmerited favor, and they thank God every day for the grace that made it possible for them to become citizens of heaven. To learn more about grace, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Today, Pastor Lutzer is answering this question: why is grace amazing?
All of us, of course, sing frequently, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now am found, was blind, but now I see." And yet when you ask Christians to explain the gospel, they explain it in such a way that it makes you think that grace is nice, grace is helpful, and perhaps even grace is necessary. But many times we do not understand why it is truly amazing. The extent of your understanding of grace is dependent upon your understanding of what life is like without grace. John Calloway, who hosts Chicago Tonight here in the city, was interviewed in the Tribune a couple of weeks ago, and at the end of that interview, which many of you probably read, he was asked regarding religion, and this is what he said, and I quote, "I'm struggling and I'm not winning that struggle. I'm living in a classic state of sin in that I am separated from God. And my only saving grace is that I know it and I think I'll do something about it if I live long enough." Think about that. "I think I'll do something about it." The impression is given, you know, if I ever really got serious about this business of sin and my separation from God, maybe I'll do something about it. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, after he listed all of the faults of humanity, says that in the courtroom of God, we are all guilty, that every mouth may be stopped, and that the world might be declared guilty before God. We're going to find out in a moment that there's nothing that we can do about it. As a matter of fact, our very attempt to do something about it only messes it up and makes it worse. So we're going to paint two pictures found in Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul is talking about life without grace, what we were like before God broke into our lives, and it is not a pretty picture. Ephesians chapter 2, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit who is now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest." Just that far. Paul says, basically, life without grace is a cemetery. We are dead in trespasses and sins, but the reason we don't realize how bad off we are is because physically, we are alive. We are alive physically, spiritually, dead. And that's why he talks about us walking. We are not the grateful dead, but we are the walking dead. And he says, we walked according to the course of this world. We have been deceived by the world, and we are unconscious of the influence even of Satan in our lives, according to the prince of the power of this age. Is it any wonder that there are so many people today who are messed up? Is it any wonder that we live in a day and age when people don't know what to do about the violence and all the other problems, as long as we are walking according to the course of this age, which is giving a host of wrong answers to man's fundamental problem and telling us to seek answers where there are none? A friend of mine says that in a restaurant that he frequently goes to, there is this that hangs on the wall. I have taken the pill, I have hoisted my skirts to my thighs, dropped them to my ankles, rebelled at the university, skied in Aspen, lived with two men, married one, earned my keep, kept my identity, and frankly, I'm lost. That's our generation. We do what we want to do, and yet we are lost. And the picture does not get any better. The Apostle Paul says that we are by nature the children of wrath. The thing that we do most naturally and the thing that we do best is sin. And that's our predicament. Now, in all of the hoopla that surrounded the John Wayne Gacy extravaganza and his eventual execution, which took place, many people wanted to make him out to be some kind of a monster. They wanted us to believe that somehow he was not a member of the human race. It is almost as if he came from somewhere else other than being a son of Adam, as all of us are. Well, I want you to know today that John Wayne Gacy was a member of the human race. The thing I think that was surprising to so many of us is that he looked so normal. In fact, I know somebody who looks a whole lot like he does. And we forget that. We forget that John Wayne Gacy was a man who simply allowed his sexual perversions to carry him wherever they led. Because someone has accurately said that sin always takes you farther than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it costs you more than you intended to pay. But John Wayne Gacy was one of us. He was one of us. Solzhenitsyn, who understood the human heart much better than a lot of other people, said, wouldn't it be neat if there would be in this world good people and bad people, and we'd find the bad people and put them off somewhere, and then all the other good people would live together in happiness. He says, the line between goodness and badness does not go through the human race, but it goes through the center of every single human heart. Just ask Christ. Colson tells the story of someone who had been persecuted and had escaped Nazi Germany. And when a Nazi was being tried and was brought into the courtroom, this person who had lived in a concentration camp fainted. And they said later, when he was revived, is it because you could not stand the sight of this murderer? And he says, no, it is not because of that I fainted. He said, I fainted because when I looked at him, he looked so ordinary, so ordinary. He did not look like a monster. Now that's the predicament that we are in. What is the answer? Five characteristics of grace today. Five characteristics of grace. You can write them down, but don't write them in a hymnal. Don't use an offering envelope that you should have used 20 minutes ago. But write them down somewhere. Five characteristics of grace. Number one, grace sets aside all human effort. It sets aside all human effort. Verse 4, what a contrast. Here is this awful cemetery of death. Like someone says, I was dying inside by the inch all the time. Terrible cemetery. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What God said is this: if I'm going to save the human race, I can't expect them to cooperate. Because everything that they do is tainted. Every motive has been tainted. You read Romans chapter 3. The words that come out of our mouths, the thoughts that form in our minds, the desires of the heart, all of them have been affected by sin. And so God says, if I'm going to save the human race, I'm going to take all human goodness and put it on the shelf and mark it unusable, and I'm going to have to do this all by myself. And so God intervenes with the power of resurrection. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, work is no more work and grace is no more grace. God says, I'm going to do something that will set aside human merit forever because it is unusable. So he acted alone. First of all, grace sets aside all human efforts. Secondly, grace is unaffected by the degree of our sin. It is unaffected, or it is not influenced by the degree of our sin. You say, well, what are you talking about? Let's suppose you have two corpses. Is one deader than the other? You have two people who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. Is one really deader than another? No, they are equally dead. Equally dead. You know, we like to compare ourselves to somebody like John Wayne Gacy, don't we? Isn't there a feeling of comfortableness and a feeling of almost restrained pride at the fact that we would never think of doing such terrible things? To think that the killing of 33 boys is so revolting to us that we can't even imagine the horror, and we say to ourselves, we are so much better. Well, thank God that we are better. It is much better to be someone who is kind and loving and thoughtful than someone who is a criminal to do those terrible deeds. But please don't ever forget this. That there is no common ground between human goodness and divine holiness. And looked at from one standpoint, one great sinner is just as far from God as all the lesser ones who traipse around thinking that they are so much better than other people.
Well, if you've been listening to the ministry of Running to Win, you know this. We deeply believe that all people are sinners. All people are born, in fact, far from God. And that's why it is we are so driven by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, we're making available for you a book that I think will be a great blessing. It's entitled Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours. And I want to emphasize that this book deals with about 26 different topics from a biblical point of view. It will help you in your journey. It'll be a wonderful gift to someone because all of us need encouragement and instruction.
Christians get their strength from God, given to them because of abundant grace, His unmerited favor towards them through Christ. And the grace that none of us deserves is our focus as our current series proceeds. Next time on Running to Win, Pastor Lutzer continues his message on Why is Grace Amazing? By listing more of the characteristics of the grace we all need. Mother's Day is coming, and a great gift would be a book by Rebecca Lutzer. It's Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. They cover the whole gamut of life difficulties and how God can see us through them. This book, in turn, is our gift to you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about life-changing Bible verses every woman should know. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.